Hello, this is Bill Hancock from Faithbridge Foster Care, and you're listening to Voices of Foster Care.
You said something earlier about picking your battles, not trying to solve every complex problem every right. teen can be struggling with on any given day, but to really pick what is going to be the battle that you want to take on, that you're willing to commit to be consistent and to be victorious in helping your teen rise above that. Can you give us some, maybe an example of one of those that mm-hmm. you've really had to work through, and maybe one you're working through, maybe one that you've already had some measure of success with in the last three years?
I still have them from 3 years and the new one. Well, I'll just say, for example, the latest girl we brought in. We're picking our battles on just the responsibility in our house. Your number one job is to pick up after yourself.
Okay.
So you drop something, you pick it up, you put it away. So we're picking our battle on that, and we're picking our battle on changing eating habits.
Okay.
Because right now hers are becoming a little more destructive.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to tone her into just a moderation mm-hmm. type program.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of other issues that are overwhelming, and I'm, in all honesty, by the third week, I was in that, whoa, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm so exhausted.
Uh-huh. It's where we all get at some point.
And again, another, we have a great counselor, and she just said, pick them. What are the two that
yeah.
you've got to resolve first,
yeah.
and the others that are long term? And we uh-huh. kind of sat through it and talked about
yeah.
it amongst ourselves and with
uh-huh.
the child as well.
Uh-huh.
And that's a picking a battle issue.
It really is, and you're really wise, Jeannie, to be able to know when to take a step back and reframe what the issue is,
right?
So that you can keep the main thing the main thing,
mm-hmm.
and not get pushed in so many directions that you get that feeling of I just can't do this anymore.
Right.
And you know, that feeling of I can't do this anymore is really an internal buzzer that
mm-hmm.
goes off. That when we learn to hear that, it's really telling us we're kind of getting too close.
Mm-hmm.
to the line, or maybe we've overstepped the line of our own personal ability
mm-hmm.
to manage and cope.
That's very much that. Mm-hmm.
So when that buzzer goes off, it's a really important time to take a step back, reframe the problem, and say, which is the problem I'm working on right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to let the others go, because they're going to look at kind of minor and perhaps even age at the
mm-hmm.
time, that they just go away with age, and you just don't try to fix that out of them
mm-hmm.
because it ends up destroying the relationship. And eventually
right.
we say, hey, they'll grow out of it. There are some things that they just grow out of, but then there are some things that are real problems that need to be focused on. There needs to be teaching and training
mm-hmm.
and nurturing, and being able to take that step back and keep those big picture main items in perspective. How have you done that in the past, and how do you currently do that now?
I actually currently do that all the time. Even though I've been at this for 3 years, kind of working with four different children that have come in, you really do have to do it all the time.
Uh-huh.
Because
yeah.
when you bring in these foster children, even though you think you're working on a plan that's kind of worked for you before,
uh-huh.
it doesn't, or it doesn't work in the same manner, or it takes a twist.
Well
so
said.
You're constantly reframing. You're
mm-hmm.
just constantly trying to think of, okay, well, this is taking longer than I thought. But in the meantime, you've got three other issues from three other kids.
uh-huh.
So you're just constantly reframing. But
uh-huh.
doing that with yourself, with God, and with your spouse, and then also doing it with the kids.
Uh-huh.
These are the issues we're seeing.
Yeah.
And actually, it's kind of working out well now to have all the kids in a room, all coming from their own little self-introspection, but hearing all the issues everybody's mm-hmm. adding into mm-hmm. as far as family.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes them feel like, well, I really should be more accountable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're getting this one's perspective on this child, and this child's then perspective on this one. And so family team meetings help a lot as well.
Oh, so you do family meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a kind of like a day in the life.
In my house?
Yeah.
Is my 16-year-old going to actually get out of bed, or is she just going to turn the alarm off and go back to bed? 3 years we're working on this one. Is the other one going to come down looking like she slept in her clothes, but down on time. My son, I can pretty much always count on. And then the other one is now in college and living with us, so she may or may not come down till noon, or she might come down at 6 in the morning.
She's a little more on her own.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But so getting up in the morning and trying to get a breakfast into them. One doesn't want to eat. One won't eat this. One won't eat that. That's typical. Get them off to school. And then kind of, I go to work, so I work full time, but I work out of my house, thankfully. And so 2:30, the bus comes in from the elementary school, and it's kind of the bewitching hour, and that's kind of when chaos starts, because I'm still trying to finish calls. I've got the tornado home, that's what I call her.
Uh-huh.
And then high school starts, and sometimes I pick them up from school or sometimes not. But between all of that and making dinner, that 2:30 to 6:30 is just, that's where you kind of have to say, step back, take a deep breath. You stop talking to me. You stop talking. It's your turn. Okay, now it's your turn, because I'm getting hit on all sides.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if, you know, my work phone rings, it's like, shh. But yeah, the bewitching hour. And then at night, it's just, again, you know, who's got homework needs?
Right.
Do you need to go? Is there an event? You know, just the constant trying to schedule everybody and reschedule when things shift. And so the everyday activities, and then again, during the school time, obviously, study habits. Just really working on the study habits. That's kind of a nightly, whether it's a reminder, whether it's a push, whether it's, okay, you'll suffer the grade according to how you studied. But it's just kind of a nightly discussion every night.
With four girls, three teenagers, one is 10.
Mm-hmm.
With four girls, I've raised two girls that are now in their into their 20s, and I also have a son. And how have you dealt with some of the drama that kind of comes along with the girl talk occasionally? We'll deal with some of the boy issues as well. Raising boys and raising girls are different.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with some of the drama, the teenage drama of having a group of girls in the same house?
Well, I'll just say bringing girls in from not raising girls was an eye-opener all into its own. With the sibling group, the drama was one was really quiet and one just liked to talk a lot, and she would kind of focus in on Hollywood kind of topics is what I call them, you know. Who's hanging out with who, who's breaking who up, and I'm like, I just don't care about those things. So a lot of it is just a lot of teaching moments again of, you know, this is how God would like to see you run your life.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of what you're focusing on.
Okay.
And again, you're not going to train that overnight.
But, right.
You know, little by little, they start to see, yeah, I really did kind of talk about some things that really weren't important.
Uh-huh.
Well, now the 10-year-old is extremely dramatic. And so we're working on that. And the harder part is, again, a lot of these kids are going to deny it because they're going to think that's normal to them.
Yeah.
So the outsider looking in is like, whoa, chill. And I'll do that a lot. I'll just kind of come up behind her and I'll go, and then she'll be, and then 30 seconds later,
uh-huh.
But, you know, it's a lot of discussions again on, you know, God wants you to watch your tongue. When you talk against some other little girl in your grade, one, God doesn't like that, but that's also just not building that person up. If you're not going to build them up, don't speak it. And what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're hitting middle school pretty soon. You trash people now, you're going to get trashed later.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't want to have to be the one to say, I told you so, but that's the pattern.
Uh-huh.
So watch what you're saying. Would you say that to the person directly?
Mm-hmm.
Just all those kinds of discussions.
It sounds to me like you're doing exactly what Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, that the way we transfer our values from one generation to the next, it says, as you go about your day, as you walk along the road, as you sit in your home, as you do prepare dinner, as you, and it talks about really as you walk through life with your children, and specifically Deuteronomy 6 is speaking of adults to children, transferring their values to their kids. They're saying it's as you walk through life, you have conversations about what's important to them, and add the perspective of what God thinks is important. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you take advantage of particularly that afternoon time and evening as the girls are wanting to chat about who's up, who's down, what's in, what's out, all those things. You have the opportunity to listen, but also to just kind of do that Deuteronomy 6 parenting thing by just coaching about how they view it, how you view it, and how God views it. Mm-hmm. And so there's kind of like three perspectives going on there. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you've just really engaged them around a lot of talk and explore different perspectives and making sure that God's perspective is an important part of that conversation.
Yep, teaching moments all day long.
Teaching moments.
And it's just little moments. It's not half an hour lectures or anything. It's just little by little.
That's really important when dealing with teens, isn't it?
Yeah, because they have their attention span isn't going to listen
keep
to them
it short.
Minutes.
Yeah. I mean, just keep it to the point.
And how does it hit me? So you have to keep thinking about, well, what are they thinking about as far as the me impact? So,
why it's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard you say that not only does this affect you and it's not honoring to God, but as you get to middle school, and it could really complicate your relationships even more. So you're really giving her a youth-centered, personal-centered reason for making good decisions and practicing self-control.
Right. And just the relationship being the topic, they come with, at least the ones I've had, have come with some pretty bad relationship experiences.
Sure.
So we do a lot of just kind of starting from scratch. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it feels like you're maybe under-talking them, but they really don't know. So a lot of relationship-type discussions and issues. And we'll watch movies and things purposely that we know have a good relationship-type
background. Oh, it's teaching illustrations,
Just to give them more views of what's a healthy relationship.
Hi, this is Bill Hancock, and you've been listening to Voices of Foster Care. Thank you for joining us.